السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay. What is كريم? The meaning of كريم. كريم means generous. Okay. Why would Allah, would it make sense that Allah describe Allah as الكريم? Why do you think we should describe Allah as الكريم? Go ahead. So he gave us so many blessings. What else? He provides us life and everything. Huh? He gives us mercy. Huh? The first meaning of al-Kareem, okay? You guys all said right. However, there is one thing that you missed, or not you missed, but you also need to know, is that he gives you without expecting anything back from you. He gave you health. He gave you wealth. Does he have to give you? No. Does he expect anything back from you? No. So that is Kareem. Okay. Now, what is Al-Akram then? What is Al-Akram? Now, Kareem, does he give things only to the good people? To everyone, whether they are good or bad. So Al-Akram, do you know what's the verse, the word, the name Al-Akram was revealed in what surah? If you remember? What surah? Huh? Iqra. Wa rabbuka Al-Akram. Iqra wa rabbuka Al-Akram. It was revealed there. And Al-Akram means super kareem. Al-Akram means super kareem. So in this life, Allah is super kareem because he provides to the one who deserve and to the one who don't deserve. So Allah is super kareem, super generous because he provides to the one who deserve and the one who don't deserve. But Allah is kareem in the life to come because he provides only to the one who deserve. Okay? Another thing is that Al-Akram is an open-end statement, right? Hanika, what do I mean by open-end statement? What do I mean by an open-ended statement? Okay, when I say Allahu Akbar, I say it's an open-ended statement, which means that Allahu Akbar, then we say Allah is greater than, Allah is greater than everything else. Yeah. So it's open-ended statement, meaning that they don't say Allah is greater than the kings, Allah is greater than the angels, Allah is greater than the people. No. We say Allah is greater. Greater than what? Open-ended. Put anything greater than X. You can put anything for X and it's going to be true. So same thing with Allah who is al-Akram. Akram than what? It's open-ended statement. Akram than what? Huh? Akram, same. Akram than X. Okay? X could be anything. It's an open-ended statement. X could be anything. So that's the beauty of Akbar and Akram. That's the beauty of these names. So Allah is al-Kabir, but also He is al-Akbar. And Allah is al-Kareem. But also he's an Akram. So it doesn't matter what you put on the other side, Allah is always going to be Akram, or the statement is going to be Akram. Also, the Kareem also means the noble. The noble. So if you see like a noble person, you say this person is Kareem, Al-Kareem. And the daughter, because the in Arabic or like in Arabic, yes, because the daughter is so precious to the father, so we say, I want to marry Karimatukum. Karimatukum, your Karima. Okay, so he's calling, it's a very honoring word. So and instead of saying, I want to marry your daughter, which is okay, you want to make it better. Isaiah 1:8, Karimatukum. Karimatukum means your garment. And the reason they say Karima because it's a word, it does not apply for men. So you can't say, I want to marry your Karim. No, it doesn't work that way. It works only for with female, for girls, because they are so precious and so adorable. So we say, I want to marry Karimatukum. I want to marry Karimatukum. Allah describes his throne as Karim. Allah describes his throne as Karim. Okay? How Allah, why Allah describing his throne as Karim? Does the throne give anything? It doesn't give anything. So then, it means what? It's the second meaning, which is what? The honorable. The honorable. Okay? The honorable. So, Karim also, Karim means noble or honorable, or and Karim also means generous. Okay? So, the arsh of al-Karim, al-arsh al-Karim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to describe al-arsh, means the throne. Karim means noble, magnificent. You got this part? Okay. Do you know that the first name revealed in the Quran is Iqra' wa Rabbuka al-Akram. Iqra' wa Rabbuka al-Akram. That was the first name revealed in the Quran. So we know Allah as the noble, as the honorable. Okay. Now, what if you get from, you get generosity from Allah al-Kareem? Does that mean that Allah loves you? Like if you get so much cars, power, honor, yes?
Sometimes it's like he's testing you, not actually giving you that.
Exactly. And it could be a test, and it could be that Allah doesn't like you. Why is he providing to you? Because in this life, he does not restrict his generosity. His generosity will reach everyone. Just remember like Rahman, which is super Rahim, super merciful. That why? Because his mercy will reach everybody. The good and the bad. No one will be excluded from his mercy. Right, Safra? So that is the... that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, the super merciful. Ar-Rahim is the merciful because his mercy reaches only the good people when in the day of judgment. Same thing with Al-Kareem, generous, and the Akram, which is super generous. Which is super generous. Okay. So if you're given from Allah's generosity, it could be a test or could be, this could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, if Allah doesn't like some person, a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may provide for this person so that this person would become deceived. Deceived with the generosity of Allah. And this person says, look at me, I'm rich, I'm powerful. Let's say Donald Trump, for example. Allah gave him so much. Does that mean that Allah loves him? No. Maybe, but I don't think so. I really don't believe so. I don't think so at all. But of course, I have a reservation, which is if Allah wants to love him, that's up to Allah. But I say it's very, very, very unlikely that Allah loves him. He talks like 10 years old boy, and he is like very offensive, and he's very mean, and he's very racist, and all of these things, you list them, he is that. You know, he is that, he's one of those lists. So, Allah doesn't mean that Allah loves him, but Allah provides for him so that to deceive him. Why Allah, if Allah doesn't like somebody, Allah will deceive that person. To think that he's okay. To think he's okay. Like for example, the king. The king who died, like the, for example, the king of Syria. This is an example. Allah provided him so much to deceive him. So when he dies as a king, but he goes where? To hell, to Jahannam. But a person like Saddam Hussein, Allah did not make him die like a king, like a president. Allah took him one step, took him many steps down. What happened to Saddam Hussein when he was taken out of power? What happened to him? He was holding the Quran all the time, reading Quran, and when he was died, when he was executed, he had the Quran in his hand, and he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul." We all testify in the Day of Judgment that Saddam Hussein has said that. So a lot of people will testify that Saddam Hussein did say that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, I would say Allah did make him, made him a lot of, gave him a big favor. Because when he was taken out of being president, he woke up and he realized that there's a Quran and there is Allah. While he was a president, if he would die as a president, would he realize that? Do you think when he dies as a president, would he would read the Quran before? If he died as a president, would he die holding the Quran and saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah"? No. You see? So this guy must have done something that Allah wanted to forgive him. He must have done something. I don't know what did he do good in his life that Allah rewarded him by not deceiving him, by waking him up. Okay? I don't know what good did he do in his life, but I can guess that he made Iraq a good country. He made Iraq a very powerful, good country. Okay? He people will travel to work in Iraq the way they travel to work in Saudi Arabia. And he made tons and tons of mistakes. But he did something. I don't know what. I guess that he's made Iraq a good, he built a good health system, healthcare system in Iraq that no one else was able to build anywhere in the world. He did good things for Iraq, okay? So maybe because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you take pictures of your phone? Maybe because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to wake him up before that. Compare him to the other presidents, never repented. They were deceived. Like the people of the, do you know in Surah Al-Kahf, the owner of the two gardens in Surah Al-Kahf? He owned two gardens, and there's a river flowing between the two gardens. And they were easy to water these gardens, and these gardens gave a lot of food. These gardens gave a lot of food, a lot of fruits. Okay, and they made him very rich and very self-sufficient. So he became arrogant about what he got. And he said, "Okay, look at me. Allah gave me. Allah loves me because He gave me two gardens. And I don't think there will be a day of judgment. But let's say we have a day of judgment. Let's assume that there is a day of judgment. Allah will give me more, better than these two gardens." What was his logic, you think? That he said, if there's a day of judgment, then Allah will give me, huh? Allah will give me more. Why is he saying that? What's the logic?
Because in this life, Allah has given him so much that he keeps receiving.
MashaAllah. Because he says that Allah proved that he loves me in this life by giving me these two gardens. Then it would make sense that he will also love me in the hereafter, right? He loved me, he proved that he loved me in this life. Then he must also love me in the day of judgment. Because, look, okay? So that was, Allah was, if Allah will leave him this way until he dies, then Allah will have been deceiving him, okay? So Allah deceived him to let him think that way until he dies, and then he goes to hell. But because Allah loves him for some reason, I don't know what did he do good in his life, that Allah liked him, so Allah destroyed his garden. So when his garden was destroyed, he started crying and said, "I wish I didn't worship Allah I wish I worshiped Allah. I wish I was thankful to Allah. I wish that I wasn't arrogant about my two gardens. I wish. So now he became a good person. And he died as a good person, according to what I know. Okay? So this is the good. So if Al-Akram, Al-Kareem is giving you, don't say it's because I deserve it. It's because he loves me. No. Na'ah. He's giving you because he's Al-Akram. Because of his generosity, not because you deserve it. Okay? So don't be deceived. And remember the example of the king who dies as a king? Okay? A bad king who dies as a bad king? Or Saddam Hussein, who's a president, and he was demoted, he lost his rulership while he was alive, and that led him to wake up and.
That's right.
Led him to wake up. To wake up and repent. Before his death. Okay. Now, if somebody's generous, wouldn't we love him? Yeah. Like imagine that you say, oh, this brother is so generous. What's your name? Umran. If somebody says, Umran is so generous. So Umran comes. When he comes to visit you, he brings with him an expensive gift. Okay. When you ask him for $10, he gives you 20. Okay. When there is a Eid, he gives you a gift, Eid gift of like $200. Okay. Wouldn't you love him? You would love him because he's generous, right? At the same time, if he's stingy, you ask him for money, he doesn't give you money. He says, I don't have money. You ask him for when it's time for Eid, he doesn't give you anything. When he's coming to visit you, he doesn't bring anything. Okay, he's stingy. Would anybody like the stingy person? No, everybody would be upset. Don't like the stingy person, right? So you can see here, to be loved, you need to be kareem, and this is one of the reasons Allah's kareem, because He wants to be. Who wants to make reasons for you to love him. Okay? All right. You know who said that Allah is stingy? Some people say it according to the Quran. Some people say, Yadullahi maglula. The hands of Allah is restrained, which means that Allah is stingy. Allah is miser. Allah is stingy because He's not making everybody rich. He holds provisions. He make people poor. He's stingy. Okay. Now, who said that? Who are the people who said that Allah is stingy? Huh? No, the Jews. The Jews at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is stingy. And Allah cursed them for saying that. Cursed the group. The group, not the entire Jews. The group that says that, Allah cursed that group because they say Allah is stingy. Okay? And they also said Allah is poor. Why? Do you remember when we talked about doing business with Allah? Didn't Allah asking us for a loan? Remember when I told you Allah saying in the Quran, I want you to loan me money and I want you to loan me property? Okay? What does it mean that Allah was asking for a loan? Huh? He's very rich and he's providing to everybody, but why is he asking a loan? He's asking for a loan so that in the day of judgment, he pays it back to you zillions of times more. So he gave you the money. Who gave you the money? Allah. Then he asks you for a loan, that you loan him part of this money. Why? Because he said, this is my, you do business with me, I reward you so much. I reward you zillion dollars for every dollar. So the reason he wants loan is because he loves you. He wants to raise your ranks. He wants to give you a lot, big Jannah, big level of Jannah. Allah wants you to put in a big floor of Jannah. So because Allah wants to put you in a big floor of Jannah, Allah asks you for a loan. You pay the loan, Then Allah says, I'll pay it back to you. In this life, in terms of blessings, in this life, and in the hereafter, he pays it back to you in terms of higher and higher floor of Jannah. So how do you increase your floor in Jannah? By giving Allah love. So now, the Jews said, same group, he said, Allah's poor. Why? Because he's asking people for a love. When the companions heard that and they went to Prophet Muhammad and said, Allah is asking us for a loan, the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, because he wants to raise your ranks. He loves you and he wants to give you higher and higher floors in Jannah. So he's asking you for a loan that he will pay back to you in this life and in the hereafter. In this life in terms of what? Blessings. So you get good children, kind, nice children, joy to your eye. They make you easy, you're happy with them, or he gives you a good husband, and he gives you a good wife. You know, the worst thing that you can do in your life is to marry a bad husband, or to marry a bad wife. That is really the most terrible thing that happens to you, because the husband and the wife can turn your life into hell. Literally hell. Literally, I'm not kidding. So, when you give Allah a loan, he gives you a good, that's why in Egypt they say, staying unmarried is better than marrying a bad person. Same thing, staying unmarried is better than marrying a bad girl. Okay? Or a mean girl, selfish girl. Or a mean man, stingy man, selfish man. Okay? These are, so Allah pays you the loan in this life by giving a good husband, giving you nice, good children, giving you barakah, blessing in your money. You don't lose money in car accidents. You don't lose money in diseases. You don't lose money in... Sometimes, you know, you have $1,000 and it's gone. The $1,000 are gone. Gone completely. How did you benefit from them? You don't benefit from them. You didn't benefit from them. Okay? This is because Allah did not bless them. At the same time, you could have $1,000 and they bring you everything, right, Amita? They bring you everything that you're looking for. You got it? Okay? So they said Allah is poor, they said Allah is stingy. What do we say? Allah is generous and Allah is super generous. Al-Kareem and Al-Akram. Al-Kareem and Al-Akram. Okay. All right. The Prophet ﷺ said, whomsoever believes on Allah on the Day of Judgment, he should be generous to his neighbors. He should be generous to his guests. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, those who believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment should be generous to their neighbors. What if you're not generous to your neighbors? It means that you don't believe? What does it mean then? It means, huh, that your belief is incomplete. Got it? So when the Prophet Muhammad says, whomsoever believes on Allah in the Day of Judgment should be generous with his neighbor and should be generous with his guest. So it means that the ones who don't do that, they don't have complete iman. They have a missing link. They have a missing piece of their iman, okay? Because they are not generous with their guest, and because they are not generous with their neighbors. Okay. Now, there is an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insanu ma dharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. That, O you man, or O you human, what deceived you about the name of Allah al-Kareem? What deceived you about the generosity of Allah? What deceived you? Shouldn't you be thankful because of his generosity? Or should be you deceived? People are deceived. You might say, why Allah is deceiving people? Because, huh? The bad people, why Allah is deceiving them? No, because Allah, he hates them, he dislikes them. Why does Allah dislike them? Because they are evil people. They are bad people. So Allah knows that they are bad. So Allah deceives them. Okay? They want to be deceived. They don't want to be punished. They want to be deceived. They don't want a punishment that will wake them up. So they are interested in doing evil deeds. If you try to preach them good deeds, they are not interested. If you try to preach them righteousness, they are not interested. They are not interested at all. Okay? They are not interested at all. Okay. We're done with this name, the name Al-Kareem and Al-Akram. And now we start the third name, which is Al-Wahhab. Al-Wahhab. Do you have any idea what the meaning of the word Al-Wahhab is? The one who gives gifts. Al-Wahhab. The one who gives gifts. Okay? So, Allah is Wahhab because He's Kareem. Wahhab, He provides gifts. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Al-Wahhab in the Quran. So, the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Al-Wahhab in the Quran, the first thing is that the biggest gift that Allah gave, Allah says to the Solomon, that Allah said to Solomon. Solomon made a mistake. What was that mistake? He had good, nice, big, humongous, lovely horses. They were adorable horses. So he continued playing with his horses. Okay? And he missed one prayer because of that. I think he missed Asr prayer or Dhuhr prayer. Allah knows what prayer did he miss. He became so mad at himself. So mad at himself for missing this prayer and being too busy with playing with his horses and missing the prayer. So he brought a sword and he cut off the necks of the horses. He killed the horses to punish himself. He killed these horses. Okay? He went so mad that he killed those horses. And he said, I deserve punishment because these horses kept me from praying, or kept me from the remembrance of Allah. This is a story mentioned in the Quran. So when he did that, after he repented, he said, Ya Allah, forgive me and grant me. Grant me means habli. See, habli, wahab. Give me hibah, wahab, habli. So he gave me, okay, a gift. Gave me, I'm sorry, a royal, gave me royal powers that no one would get after me ever, ever. No one would be able to get this royal powers after me. For you are Al-Wahhab. For you are Al-Wahhab. See, this is the name he called on. He said, Ya Allah, forgive me and grant me a royal powers that nobody after me would have because you are Al-Wahhab. So what did Allah do? Did he grant him? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He granted him control over the wind. Control over the shaitan, control over the jinn, okay? Control over the birds, control over all kingdoms. He had royal powers over all kingdoms. Because Allah is Al-Wahhab, because He called on the name of Allah Al-Wahhab. So Allah gave him, that is the best gift. Allah gifted him with this because he called on the name of Allah Al-Wahhab. You know these flying carpets and genies and things like that? These flying carpets is coming from the stories of Prophet Sulaiman. He would sit on a carpet and the wind would carry the carpet and would take him everywhere he wants to go. You know that? You know the concept of also genie who puts on a bottle? He punishes jinn and shaitans for disobeying him by either burning them, he would burn them, like burn, okay? Or he punishes them by putting them, trap them into what? A bottle or a lamb. Just like the lamb, Ala'uddin lamb. So the flying carpet is true. And the lamb thing is also true. You know how can you put the entire jinn in a bottle.
The jinn's like big.
But how do you compress the jinn? Because jinn are don't have a shape. Jinn is like a body of energy. A body of energy. So you can take this energy and trap it into a bottle. So that it can't get out of this bottle or lens. Okay? So that's true. That's true. That is it is true that that Prophet Sulaiman had control over the jinn, and he had the ability of put them into bottles and lamps. Get this part right? Okay. And there are still one good thing about Sulaiman that I want to tell you, nice story. When he died, he used to sit down to scare the jinn and the shaitans. Okay, to scare them, he will sit down and he will have a stick. And he will, aha, you got it. You got it. He had a stick. So he would be watching them, and then when they see him watching, they move fast, work hard, hard, hard. And they look, he's still there, hard, hard, hard. Okay, because they are afraid. Now, after Prophet Sulaiman died, you know that the ants don't eat the body of prophets. So the body of the prophets are intact. It's not dissolved. It did not dissolve into the earth or disintegrate into the earth. Still, you know that? The prophets and the martyrs, their bodies are preserved. So here is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, I'm sorry. Here is Sulaiman. His body does not dissolve, so his body stayed the same, and he was leaning on his stick. Guess how long did he do that for? 1,000 years. He's dead for 1,000 years. And the shaitans and the jinn didn't know that. So they kept working hard, 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 hard. How did they figure out after 1,000 years that he died? Huh? Exactly. The ant ate the stick from the bottom and he fell down. So now the jinn and the shaitan, they were so mad. They were so mad because he puts them in the hard labor. You know, he would make them cook for everybody. He would make them like have cooking containers or utensils as big as like the cooking pot is as big as like this masjid, for example. And he made them cook for everybody. He made them bathe the roads for everybody. So instead of them busy doing shaitan business, and instead of them being busy doing shaitan business, they become busy doing useful things. And they hated that because the shaitan pleasure is to ruin things. That's the nature of the shaitan. That's what he likes, to ruin things and screw things up and waste the blessings of Allah. Okay, so another thing that you know, Prophet Ibrahim, did he have children at the beginning? No. His wife Sarah wouldn't get pregnant with the children. Then he prays to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, give me a gift. Gift me, Wahab. Ya Wahab, Wahab, gift me with children. So Allah gave him one or two?
Two.
He gave him two, which are? Ishaq and? Ismail. Ishaq and Ismail. And both are prophets. So, because he called them Allah. And his wife, Sarah, she became pregnant when she was like a very old woman, maybe in the 90s. Just imagine a very old woman in the 90s getting pregnant and delivering a baby. That's how powerful is Allah. And this because he asked Wahab for a gift. So he said, Habli, Habli, give me gift. Gift me, Habli, gift me. Wahab. Okay. Another. Also, Allah didn't also do that. But Allah said, I'm going to give you Ishaq. And after Ishaq, the child of Ishaq is Yaqub. Right? The child of Ishaq is Yaqub. Yaqub is a prophet, right? So Allah gave him the news. Allah said, not only that you get Ishaq, which is Isaac, but you go to also get Yaqub, which is Jacob. So that's Allah giving him a gift. Because he said, gift me, Allah. Okay. Who also, you know Zechariah? The prophet Zechariah? You see Zechariah, Zechariah. Where is Zach here? Zach? Where is Zach? You're Zach? There's a prophet in your name called Zechariah. Okay? Or Zechariah in Arabic. In the language of the Quran, it's Zechariah. What is so special about Zechariah? He didn't have any children. And his wife was very old, just like Prophet Ibrahim. So he said, Ya Allah, gift me, happily. He used the name, he used the verb is Al-Wahhab. He used Al-Wahhab. So he said, Ya Wahhab, happily, give me, gift me, gift me a boy. Gift me a boy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him with a boy. His name is Yahya, which is John. Yahya. And Yahya was a prophet or not a prophet? Was a prophet. Just imagine. Allah didn't give him just any child. Allah gave him a prophet child. You can imagine how beautiful it is to be the father of a prophet. It's really beautiful. Then when the angel came down to Maryam, and she was virgin, and he wanted to give her a child. So he said, the messenger of Allah, the prophet, the angel that Allah sent down, he said, my Allah sent me to have, to give you a gift, to gift to you. Ahaba laki, li ahaba, ahaba, wahab. So he used this verb, which is gift someone, or wahaba, gift. So he says, I am for Allah is a wahab, he's going to gift to you with a boy. Of course, she said, how can I, a boy and a prophet, and not any prophet, he's one of the five super prophets. You know who are the five super prophets? Prophet Nuh, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, and Prophet Muhammad. Five super prophets. So what they are again? Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad. So Allah gifted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gifted her not with any boy, a miraculous boy coming without a father. Is it appropriate to say that because he did not have a father, then he's the son of God? No. Why not? Because did Adam have a father? Did Adam have a mother? Has a mother? He didn't. So, which one is more impressive? Adam or Isa? Adam, because he didn't have neither mother or a father. Okay? So if I would worship anybody, it would be Adam, basically, because he didn't have a father or a mother. I wouldn't worship Jesus just because he has no father. Okay. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people who wants to distribute the generosity of Allah their way. So they say, if you're rich and she's poor, they say, that's not right. You should be poor and she should be rich. Okay? So they want to redistribute the generosity of Allah, the gifts from Allah. They want to redistribute them. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them in Surah Saf, Am indahum. Do they have the keys for the safes of Allah? The keys. Do they have these keys to gift one person and to not gift another person? Do they? So that's another thing. So you use al-wahhab with gifts to ask Allah to gift you with a child. Okay? Use al-wahhab to ask Allah to grant you a righteous child. When you also used to pray for Rahmah, you can use it with Wahhab as well to ask Allah to give you to get you with Rahmah. Mercy. And you ask Allah if Allah takes something from you away from you, then you ask Allah replace it with a better thing. For you are the Wahhab, Ya Allah, Ya Wahhab. Replace what I lost to the better. And we'll see you inshallah next week.